Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Recently, a federal and state foreclosure settlement was announced with the five largest mortgage lenders and servicers in the U.S. What will this mean for you? Who will benefit? What can you do if you're having problems trying to make your mortgage payments? There are a lot of issues to discuss around our home ownership. And my guest is Pat Eswine. She's the associate editor covering real estate for Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Pat, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. I'm glad to be with you.
Now, this is a fascinating subject for many reasons because, of course, a home is generally the largest purchase we ever make. And so consequently, when we get into trouble, we're likely to lose an awful lot of our life, our investment, and whatever. Put into perspective for us kind of an overview of the mortgage problem.
Well, we have to look back several years to about mid-2006 when the housing market nationally peaked. Prices were at their highest. From that point, prices began to fall. So many homeowners who had bought during the housing boom began to see the value, the market value of their homes fall. They were losing the equity that they had put into their homes, either their down payment or the amount of the loan that they'd begun to pay off. Then many homeowners who had taken these rather questionable mortgages with dangerous features began to see their interest rates rise to levels that made their mortgage payments unaffordable.
So here you are. You can't afford the mortgage payments. The interest rates have gone up. The value of your house has gone down. That's a mess.
Right. You can't sell. You can't refinance. Your payments gone up. And then add to that recession, and people losing their jobs or people becoming underemployed and losing income.
So all of that contributes to a significant problem with consumers. So,
yes.
Yeah. Now, this settlement that was announced, and it was with the five largest lenders, as I said in the intro, and those lenders were Ally Finance, which was formerly GMAC, Bank of America, Citicorp, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. And they, I don't know exactly what this settlement means for consumers, but before we talk about that, tell me, what was the impetus behind this? How did it happen? Was it because what had gone on that caused this whole thing to take place?
The first thing to keep in mind is that the laws that govern the processing of foreclosures and the timeline for executing foreclosures and the steps along the way, those are governed by state law. So in the fall of 2010, this robo-signing issue came to light whereby lenders and loan servicers were processing foreclosures with false information, inaccurate information. They were losing documents. They were not adhering to the timeline properly. So the state's attorneys general, of course, became aware of this issue, and they joined together with federal agencies who were also concerned to investigate this foreclosure processing problem, which also revealed a mortgage servicing problem. And mortgage servicing basically is you send your monthly mortgage payment to a loan servicer who accepts your payment, credits your account, and pays attention if you don't make your payment.
And so these servicers, so some of the things that were being done is that the, what were some of the things that were being done that were creating the problems?
Well, imagine this. Most of these loan servicers were never set up for a deluge of delinquent homeowners.
So you're kind of trying to nicely say that they weren't doing the job they should have been doing. I mean,
well, let's say that the size of the problem was unforeseen and unheralded. This has never happened to this extent, well, maybe since the Great Depression. So they just weren't...
They couldn't keep up.
And so they didn't have enough people. The same person might not speak to a homeowner twice. They had a mess of documentation. Their computer systems weren't set up for it. And then top it off with, there was some concern that the loan servicers could charge additional fees the longer they kept someone in the foreclosure process, because they could go back to the lender with whom they'd contracted.
Sure.
And they would make more money.
So there were a lot of reasons that the feds and the state attorneys general looked into this issue.
Yes,
and
it
then
was
they
a mess.
Came up with this settlement. But while it sounded like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a relief for a tremendous number of people, but the reality is that's not the case. Is that true? I mean, you had sent me some information on this, and it just seems that the very small percentage of people are actually going to get any kind of relief on their mortgage from this settlement.
Relatively speaking, yes. I will say, if you're a homeowner who does get some relief, you don't care what happens
That's
to
true.
Everybody else. But yes, relatively speaking, it will be a small percentage. For starters, the five lenders directly control only about 7% of the mortgages that they service.
They actually sold about 60% of those mortgages, but then they turn around and resold them to another institution.
Right, the investors. And so then the investors contract back with the lenders and loan servicers to service the loans. So the lenders can only do so much with those investor-owned loans because they have contracts that govern what's going to happen. Right.
So you bring a third party into this, and then things can get muddled, as we know from that as well.
There's nothing wrong
with the process. It's just that this one broke down.
It broke way down for understandable and as well as unconscionable reasons. The other thing to remember is that if your mortgage is owned or guaranteed by either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, you won't be eligible for relief from the foreclosure settlement either.
Now, when we talk about relief, let's put this into terms. Does this mean if you qualify, if you're one of the small percentage that will qualify, what is it going to mean? That you're going to not have to pay your mortgage, you're going to get to stay in your house, or what if you've already been evicted and your house was foreclosed? Is that a situation that could occur?
That's one of three big buckets that relief falls into.
Okay.
I'll
tell you, before you talk about those three buckets, let me just tell our listeners that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. I'm talking with Pat Eswine. She is an associate editor covering real estate for Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And we're talking about what the meaning of this mortgage settlement and what people can do if they are underwater in their mortgage or if they're behind and just can't make payments. I'm sorry, you were going to say this was three buckets that people fell into, and the one being the people who've been foreclosed on.
Right. In the case of people who have already lost their homes to foreclosure, the foreclosure settlement administrator is going to review all of these foreclosures that were processed by the five major lenders to see whether the foreclosure was handled improperly or whether you should have been offered some relief, that is loss mitigation, before it ever got to that point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's going to be handled kind of like a class action suit. Whereby if the administrator determines that you're eligible, they will send you claim forms and you have to fill out those claim forms and return them. And depending on how many people respond, that determines how much money you might get. What they're saying is that the typical borrower who is eligible would get about $2,000.
That's a little help.
That's a very little help. It's not going to replace your home.
No.
But
and the trauma that you've suffered.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so we've got the people who have gone through foreclosure, and the other buckets are?
Well, the second bucket contains people who are underwater on their mortgage and are either behind on their payments or on the verge of becoming behind on mm-hmm. their payments.
Now, do people... I believe you told me before that we started talking on the program that the banks, the lenders, are going to be responsible for notifying the people who are eligible. So people just don't apply to this mortgage settlement?
Correct. Within probably the next 6 to 9 months, borrowers who are determined to be eligible by these five lenders and loan servicers will be notified of their eligibility.
Over the what period of time? I'm sorry.
Probably within the next 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
Now, this agreement, this settlement, requires the lenders to work their way through 3/4 of the eligible borrowers within 2 years of the settlement, and to be completely done within 3 years.
So first off, these banks have to figure, or who's going to be responsible for doing the notification? Suppose since these banks have sold the majority of those loans, is it the third party that's going to be responsible for determining if a consumer qualifies, or is it going to be the bank, the original lender?
Good question. I'm not absolutely sure.
Okay.
I have to assume that it's either going to be the lender.
One or the other is going to be responsible.
Right. Or it will be the loan servicer that they've hired to take care of their loans.
Right. So at any rate, there will be notification. But now, how is that going to – let's suppose we're looking at somebody who's in bucket one mm-hmm. or bucket two, who's about to become – behind on their mortgage payments. These people are not going to get any instant relief. So how are they going to struggle for the next 6 to 9 to 12 months or 2 years? There's an awful lot of gaps in there for consumers.
There is. And I've been thinking about that. And I think the only answer I can offer to that question is that if you think you're in trouble or will be soon be in trouble, you need to contact your lender right away and let them know what's happening. You can't really wait around. Another thing you probably really should do is to call a HUD, a Housing and Urban Development Certified Housing Counselor.
Okay.
I can give contact
yes,
information
please,
for
do.
That. The best way to find them is to go to the website of Hope Now.
HopeNow.gov?
It's HopeNow.com.
.com, okay.
Or you can also go to MakingHomeAffordable.gov.
Okay.
Through either of those websites, you can find a local HUD-certified housing counselor, and they will provide you with free and personalized assistance in figuring out what your options are.
Okay, so the one is makinghomeaffordable.gov, and the mm-hmm. other one was?
HopeNow.com. And HopeNow also has a telephone number you can call if
okay,
you're not a computer
that number
person.
Is?
1-888-995-4673.
All right, the number that you can call is 1-888-995-4673. 1-800-273-4673 to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. Have you heard from people who've tried this approach? Do you know if it's really working? Are they getting through? You don't know. I mean, I would be willing to bet you they're flooded with calls.
I would be too. And it's interesting. On the National Mortgage Settlement website, where you can find all kinds of information about the settlement terms, they give the hotline numbers for the five lenders. And that website is www.nationalmortgagesettlement.com.
And who's behind that?
That is a website put together by the federal agencies and the five lenders.
Okay, so it's a joint effort to try to provide information to consumers.
Exactly.
You know, if people are having problems, they really are going to have to do a lot of research. And if they don't have access to a computer, then they should go to the library and see if they can't get some assistance.
Yes. You know, I think the key is to gather information about yourself, because anybody you talk to is going to want to know what your financial status is,
right,
your employment status, what your income is, so on and so on. And you have to be persevering.
Okay. All right, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Pat Eswine. She is the associate editor covering real estate for Kiplinger's Personal Finance magazine, and we're discussing mortgages. It's been a terrible problem for consumers in this country. Pat, before we took the break, we were talking about the buckets.
Yes.
All right. We had bucket one, which is the people who've been foreclosed on.
Right.
And bucket two, people who are at the point where they're about to become late and they're underwater. In other words, they owe more than their house is worth. What's bucket number three?
Number three is people who are current on their mortgage payments, but they have a high interest rate loan,
mm-hmm,
or they have an adjustable rate mortgage that's about to adjust to a higher rate,
making it unaffordable. Or maybe
right.
They've been, what about if they've been downsized in their job? They've had to redo, maybe they don't even have a job anymore.
Right. I mean,
so all of those. So right. These are the people, these are the three groups. Now, all right, suppose our listeners fall into one of these three groups. Go ahead. Sorry.
I wanted to say that those are the very broad descriptions of
sure.
the buckets. There are other specific criteria you have to meet in order to be eligible. And you can find out more about that at nationalmortgagesettlement.com.
Okay. So this is going to be, do you have any idea what percentage of these 7%? We're talking about only 7? No. What percentage of the mortgages that are in trouble are we talking about, do you think, that will be – that people should – I don't know how to ask this. I'm having a brain freeze.
I sympathize.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do consumers who are listening to us know whether or not they should go out and apply? If they are having problems, they should just go look, right? They should do research and find out.
Yes.
Now – there's only going to be a limited number of people that are going to be eligible. Does this eligibility have to do with need, or how is that going to be determined? Is that a whole long list of things?
I think it's longer than what I just described.
Oh yes,
and
I'm sure.
There are legal, you know, according to the settlement, legal
right.
definitions
right.
of who can qualify. After that, I'm frankly not sure, and
sure.
I don't think I could give you a number.
Well, the whole thing here seems to me that consumers have to understand that a limited number of them will benefit
yes.
from this settlement. It's going to be a while down the road,
yep.
and you're going to have to do a lot of research, but it's not going to be up to you to apply for this settlement. The lenders are going to notify you.
Right.
Well, what if you don't get notification within the next year and you think you should qualify?
You need to call your lender.
So, but the best thing for anybody who's having problems with their loans is to call their lender immediately.
Yes. Yes.
And what other advice do you have for people who are having or starting to have problems? whether or not they end up qualifying for this loan. And I guess the best advice is to call their lender. Are there other things that we can tell them?
Well, you call your lender. I really strongly suggest calling a HUD housing counselor.
Okay. Let me give this information again.
Sure.
Now, the number you can use is 1-888-995-4673. Let me repeat that. 1-888-995-4673. There are a number of websites, but perhaps the most useful place for you to go is to the nationalmortgagesettlement.com. And that site puts together a lot of information and resources for people to use. And it will direct you, I suspect, to a lot of these other websites.
Yes. The other thing to keep in mind is that even if you are not eligible for help from the National Mortgage or the National Foreclosure Settlement, you may be eligible for other programs, which the housing counselors and your lender can also make you aware of. If you go to makinghomeaffordable.gov, you'll learn about the HARP Home Affordable Refinance Program.
Uh-huh. And what is that?
Well, HARP is basically a refinance option for people whose loans are owned by Fannie and Freddie or Freddie, who are underwater. That is, they owe more on their mortgage than they could sell their house for.
So they can get all of that information at makinghomeaffordable.gov. Would that be the main resource site for people, or is that hard to say?
I think it's hard to say. I think you'd be best to just go to both.
Okay. And then there's always hopenow.com as well. So at any rate, I guess the important thing here is for consumers to be active.
Yes.
To be proactive, to do things now. Don't wait.
That's true. And I think we've all read these stories about how the foreclosure process is taking so long and how you can live in your house for 2 years before anything will happen. That was true. Going forward, that will probably be less true because now that the foreclosure settlement has answered many unanswered questions for lenders and loan servicers, the pace of foreclosure is likely to proceed more quickly than it has been. So if you want to keep your home, and you may not,
right,
if you want to keep your home, then you do have to be proactive and not wait around.
Well, I think that's the best advice, is to be proactive now.
Yes.
And the websites. Now, let me ask you, does Kiplinger have something up that people can refer to that would give them all this information?
There are a couple of stories on our website at www.kiplinger, and that's KIPLINGER.com. There's an article about the Home Affordable Refinance Program. If you search for HARP, I think you'll find it. And there's a story about the foreclosure settlement as well.
Okay. Yeah. But the thing to keep in mind is not a whole big lot of our listeners are going to benefit. But nevertheless, you need to keep on top of it no matter whether you actually end up benefiting or not. And you will be notified by the lending institutions if you are qualified under this program. You do not have to apply.
Right.
So that's the important thing. Well, Pat, thank you so much. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Pat Eswine. She is the Associate Editor for Real Estate for Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. And we've been talking about mortgages. And it's really, really essential that consumers be proactive, get out there, do things now, because you don't want to wait until trouble comes knocking on your door. So, and we've got a lot of resources and information for you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Shirley Rooker, and we're glad you were with us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.